Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Flat Springs Baptist Church. We're so excited to see you here today. As you can hear, we have some babies with us. We're very excited that they are here today as we participate in parent-child dedication. So we're glad that you're here and making yourselves known. We like that. If you are visiting with us today for the first time, we want to say a special word of welcome to you. And we would just ask that you fill out a little visitor's card. It's in the pew in front of you. And as the offering plate comes by, if you want to, you can just drop it in there. Tell us a little bit more about yourself, and we would be glad to get to know you. Just wanted to make note of a few things. We do have a very temporary lost and found that is in the fellowship hall. There are some tables in there that has a variety of items that you can go and browse and see if there's anything you like. No, just kidding. But really, if you have lost something, please go check. I think Miss Kathy said that some of that stuff has been here for 15 years. So please take it. Okay. also, the financial statements are in the post office in the little kitchen. So if you would like to go and check and pick that up, you can do that. And then a reminder to youth and their parents. We have a youth parent meeting tonight at 4 o'clock in the fellowship hall. And then also money for DNOW is due by next Sunday. Next Sunday, money is due. Okay. And then also wanted to make you aware that Sled Day and the Chili Cook-Off is coming up. We have set a date for that. It will be Saturday, February 24th. Everyone is invited to come and attend and bring some chili, sign up to bring some chili, and we'll be glad to have everybody there that day to have some fellowship and fun with us. Just also wanted to mention a few prayer concerns so that you can make note of that and be praying. We want to be praying for Jamie Beauvair, for the family of Michaela Bailey. And Michaela was killed in a car accident, so we want to just remember her family in a very special way. And that is actually Judith Nance's great-niece, I believe. So we just want to keep that family in our thoughts and prayers. And now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are to be gathered in your house this morning. God, for some of our littlest voices that are making themselves known this morning, we give you thanks. God, we thank you that today as a congregation and as family members and as parents, we get to dedicate them back to you, Lord. What a special day that is in the life of our church. God, I just pray that you be with us now and that you help us to focus on worship. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Child in the way that he should go, that he will never change.
On October the 28th, 2010, and on October the 6th, 2015, and on April the 15th, 2017, the world changed. It changed forever for all of us, but it changed especially for Juan and Celine Macias and Big Brother Grayson, as Colin Mason and Dominic Miles and Matteo Giovanni came into this world. Juan and Selena, if it is your intent to dedicate your children to the Lord, would you join Taylor and bring your children at this time? Gotta go, come on. And you can have the hymn book, that's fine.
Come
on. On June the 7th, 2013, and then again on July the 18th, 2017, the world again changed. For that's when Taylor Lake and Cash Edward Rooker were born. John and Tracy, if it is your intent to dedicate Taylor and Cash to the Lord, would you come and join Taylor up front at this time? And on May the 5th, 2017, again, our world experienced change forever. For that is a day that Remington Claire Thomas was born. Joey and Shayna and Big Brother Buck, if it is your intent to dedicate Remy today to the Lord, would you come and join Taylor down front?
Parents, today you bring your children to present them back to the Lord who gave them life. Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and went away. Parents, will you pledge to support and love these children by providing the opportunity for them to grow up in the family of faith, with the hope that they will someday confess Christ as their own teacher, Lord, and Savior? If so, say, "We will."
We will.
Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Recognizing the home is the central area where faith is taught and lived, will you, to the best of your ability, and with God's help, provide a loving family environment in which these children can grow in love, loyalty, and obedience to God? If so, say, "We will."
We will.
Will you encourage your children to grow in faith by your words and by your action, so that they might later, when they are older, accepting Christ as his Lord and Savior, and be received into the fellowship of the church by baptism, fully partaking in the work and worship of the church? If so, say, "We will." And now at this time, if we have any grandparents or extended family that are here with us today, we would ask for you to please stand. Blessed is the child who has faithful, loving grandparents. Not only do you, who stand with this young family today, thoroughly enjoy and help and nurture these precious children in your own unique way, you also support their parents through the wonder-filled and sometimes frustrating process of parenting. Will you likewise pledge to support, encourage, and love these children and their parents through these awesome years to the best of your ability? If so, say, "We will." This room is full of many hearts and hands whom our God has drawn together into a family of faith. Within the Church of Christ Jesus, no parent stands alone. No child is without many spiritual aunts and uncles, sisters and brothers. We are here to help bear this awesome and exciting responsibility of raising children. Will they grow to have faith in Christ? Will they hear the stories of Jesus? Will his words be lived out before them so that they will know the truth and the truth will set them free? Will they be encouraged to walk by faith little by little, be forgiven when they fall, and be challenged to one day undertake the greatest journey of all, to follow Jesus into the waters of baptism and beyond? The answer to those questions is our mission, church. Are we ready? Would we as Flat Springs Baptist recognize the awesome stewardship we have to these children and these families to be the spiritual family to help them raise these special children? Church, if we will commit to love, pray, teach, and support these newly dedicated lives to the best of our ability, would you please stand now with these families?
As we stand together with these families, we stand before the Lord, realizing that each of these lives, when the world was changed, is our responsibility to make sure that change is as God intended. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I pray for these three families and the decision that they have made is to raise their children in your presence, to give their child every opportunity to hear your word, to be taught by your grace, to experience the example of a church and loving brothers and sisters in Christ, that one day they too may walk down an aisle, this one or one like it, and say yes to you forever. Lord, we recognize they are gifts from you, and we give them back to you now in this service of dedication, thanking you for them and thanking you for these parents and the decision that they are making. And God, you strengthen them through the challenges of this world that would give them every other option. May they stay true to their call this day to bring their children up, to train their children up in a way that is pleasing unto you. In Christ's name we pray and give thanks. Amen. And at this time, I'd ask the deacons to come and make a presentation. Cash is going to help with the children's sermon, too, just so you know.
Gives us a new appreciation for nursery workers, doesn't it? Let us continue as we worship by singing number 579, Shine, Jesus Shine.
Thank you. us pray. Lord, we thank you for bringing us here this beautiful Sunday morning. Lord, we want to lift up these children today and let us as a church, Lord, lead them to you and be with us and use this offering for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
How many of y'all recognized what Gail and Regina just played? I believe it was A Child of the King. Amen. And it is just a beautiful service that they render to this church every week. And we are very pleased at the great way that they perform their many services. Thy word, take out your insert in your bulletin. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Thank you. Well, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
We still got some coming. Y'all thought it was a joke, but we're really borrowing cash for the children's sermon today. So this is Cash Rooker, and he was dedicated just a few minutes ago. Oh, my goodness gracious. Look, man, we agreed this would work. It's okay. Okay, there we go. All right, maybe, oh, just kidding. Okay, we're gonna stand, how about that? Yeah, we'll try, maybe, okay. Oh, y'all are gonna stand too, okay. That's cool, okay. So, I like it, okay. So, this morning we have Cash up here with us. Yeah. He may not be feeling it, Mama. I'm sorry.
Hey, buddy.
Okay. Well, there's Cash. Okay. So, guys, let's regroup. Okay. Okay. So, this morning, Cash was dedicated, and what that means is his parents and his family decided that they want to raise him in the church with the intention of him becoming a Christian. Now, that's something that Cash is going to have to decide when he is older, when he decides that he wants to be baptized and believe in Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He's going to have to decide that. But his parents are going to raise him in such a way that hopefully he will make that decision. So some things that they're going to try to do with him, they're going to pray with him, right? Maybe before bed, they're going to say nighttime prayers, or they're going to read Bible stories to him, because it's important to read the Bible and know what the Bible says, because it's our instruction book, right? It's telling us how we're supposed to live our lives. And so those are some important things that they're going to do. And what else do you think they could do to help Cash become a Christian? What could they do? Where are you right now? Church. You're at church, right? They can bring him to church. That's another great thing they can do. Because when you're at church, you're with fellow Christians that encourage you in the faith, right? Well, in Matthew chapter 22, it says this. It says, "And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Those are the two greatest commandments that the Lord has given to us. Now, that's something we have to learn. Just like Cash right now, he's a baby, right? So he drinks milk. He doesn't, maybe he eats some foods, some maybe. No, he just milk, right? So he's going to have to learn how to eat. He's going to have to learn how to walk. He's going to have to learn how to brush his teeth. Maybe Taylor can help him with some of those things, right? Yeah. So just like he has to learn all those things, being a Christian, you're just not a Christian. You have to develop that, and you have to learn what does it mean to be a Christian. You have to ask Jesus to come into your life and to save you. And so that's what his parents are going to work with him on, okay? But as brothers and sisters, because I know some of you guys up here are brothers and sisters, you guys get to help out with that as well. You can help out mom and dad and remind them and say, "Hey, we didn't read our Bible story tonight." Or, "Hey, I can't go to bed. I haven't said my prayers yet." Because sometimes they might forget, and you can remind them, okay? So I want you to remember that this week. And if you have little brothers and sisters, or if you have older brothers and sisters, maybe you could even pray with them as well, okay? That's my challenge to you guys this week, all right? Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for the children that are here in our church this morning, and God, especially for the families that made the promise to raise their children in the church, God, and to teach them to pray and to read their Bible and to come to church, God. We just pray for them, and we just pray that we can be a great church family to come alongside them, God. And now I pray for the children that are down here this morning, and that they would continue to want to learn and know more about you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hear this passage from the 18th Psalm. "The Lord paid me back because of my righteousness, because he can see that my hands are clean. In dealing with faithful people, you are faithful. With innocent people, you are innocent. With pure people, you are pure. In dealing with devious people, you are clever. You save humble people, but you bring down a conceited look. O Lord, you light my lamp. My God turns my darkness into light.
Pray with me.
Heavenly Father, indeed you are all things to us, and you meet us where we are. Lord, it is good to look out and see your congregation, this building full of people who come to hear from you. Would you speak to them? God, if we hear from you, if we hear from heaven about those things in our life, those dark areas of our life, then Lord, you'll be that light. You'll illuminate in our own heart and mind. And suddenly when we leave this place, we'll be different people. We'll be different family members. We'll be different members of our community. We'll be different students at school. And Lord, you will use us and draw other people to the light. And Lord, we are grateful for your power to transform us and to change us. Would you, as we now have our eyes closed and our head bowed, would you hear us say, Lord, there are some things in my life that need to be changed. Oh, Lord, we just banned Satan from this building who's saying, oh, no, it's all good. We pray that we might hear your Holy Spirit as you challenge us this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
It's okay to take.
No sorrow.
to sing. I can't imagine how it was to play it on the piano and the organ. What a wonderful job. This is Epiphany Sunday. Anybody know what that means? It's good to be with Baptists. We don't know the church calendar very much. It's a Sunday of lights. It's on the big Christian calendar. You'll hear that occasionally, words like Monday, Thursday. I've kind of got you used to that one by now. And Passover and Pentecost Sunday, those are all significant. We certainly know Christmas and Easter. But this is the Sunday to celebrate that the light has come into the world. And it's called Epiphany, or the coming of Christ, the light of the world. And it's based on two passages of Scripture, really. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 13, and John chapter 3. We're going to read verses 16 through 21. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of this portion of God's Word. I begin in John chapter 1 with verses 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then in John chapter 3, a verse that probably most of us know by heart, but let us hear the last of that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works would be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us for a moment or two on this Sunday morning, that we might hear your voice, that we might recognize in our own life the darkness, and we might come into the light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. My youth are kind of dispersed throughout everywhere. That's okay. I see you out there. I don't know if they still do this. Do y'all still have to do homework? Oh, really? Well, you know, We got Facebook now. I didn't know if you still had to do homework or not. You know, I had teachers that sometimes would say, if you did your homework, raise your hand. I used to hate that question. Well, sometimes I hated that question. I kind of liked that question when I'd done my homework. I was excited. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Ask me number two. That was the one I did the best on. But then there'd be those days that life happened. And procrastination had won the day. And there I was, and then that question was asked. If you've done your homework, raise your hand. I just try to scratch like this. It kind of looks like you're, I'm not really raising my hand, but close enough maybe. You've been there. You ever been to where someone asked you that question and you knew that the right answer was not the answer you could give? You were in the darkness a little bit. The world's natural condition is darkness. Light and darkness are connected throughout of Scripture. But I want you to listen to this one thought. The absence of God's creative power is darkness. I won't say that again. The absence of God's creative power is darkness. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. If God's not creating light within us, then our natural position, our natural condition is that of darkness. Now, we have as a society always connected the dark to evil. We all know that vampires can't see the daylight, right? They can't do that. Evil is tied directly to the darkness. And when the sun rises and the lights of the day come, evil can't stand it. Well, the analogy is pretty simple, isn't it? In our life, there's either light or dark. We're either right or wrong. Someone said, I shared this with the prayer meeting group, that take the Titanic. There were only two groups of people. Those that were saved and those that weren't. Those that were saved and were rescued and those that perished. There was that dark and light, if you will. There was one way or the other. Light and life are connected. In our passage, did you read that? Or did you hear that when I read that in verse 4 of John chapter 1? In him, speaking of Jesus, was life. And the life that was in Jesus was the light of men. Our hope is in that light. John tells us that life is in Christ. It is surely a reality that that light and darkness, they don't mix. I don't remember the great writer that was writing, and he tells the story when he first saw a man coming and he was lighting gas lamps when the city had just put up gas lamps. He had never seen that happen. And he was looking out his window, and there was a man coming by with a long pole and a wick on the end, and he was lighting the gas lamps. And it was amazing because suddenly when that little light that he couldn't see from the window touched that lamp and the light would illuminate, it was amazing. And he went and he said, Mama, come watch this man. He's punching holes in the darkness. That's what light does. Light always overcomes darkness. You can write that down. Light always overcomes darkness. Christ, life, brings us light. Have you ever been trying to find something in the dark? Have you ever found something with your big toe in the dark? Being a deer hunter, on several occasions, I've tried to track a deer in the dark. And I realize that not all lights are created equal. It's amazing if you've got what you think is a bright light and someone comes beside you with a bright light and shines it over your little dull light. It's just amazing. And yet, even the brightest light is not nearly as good as sunlight. I wonder. I've also discovered there are artificial lights, not only like flashlights and like lights that you and I. Maybe we don't really understand darkness, because even now when we go to our house and we flip on the lights, we can, in at least one little area where we are, we can almost make it like sunlight, can't we? Those artificial, those man-made lights, they can penetrate a little bit. But like those lights, sometimes the batteries go out and sometimes the power goes off and it doesn't do us much good. It's only when we recognize how precious light is, usually, it's when we find ourselves in the darkness. Can I ask us a question today? Oh, this is a tremendous congregation. It looks good to see you out here. It looks good when I see more people than I do pews. You know what I mean? And today there's more people than there is pew, and that's great. Thank you. But surely with a crowd this size, if we're going to be real honest, there's probably darkness, some area of darkness. You know what I'm talking about? Some area in all of our lives. And maybe some of us today have wandered in here almost in total darkness. Life's hard right now. There are decisions that have been made. Maybe we've made them, or maybe someone else has made them, and life's hard right now, because darkness has come. We must guard that we don't allow the darkness to overcome us. We also must guard that we don't allow the wrong kind of artificial light to illuminate our life. The light of the world overcame the darkness. It's spelled out in one powerful verse, a couple of verses. It's in Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 through 46. Hear these words. First, let me give you just the background. Jesus is hanging on the cross. And now from the sixth hour, that would be noon, high noon, there was darkness over all the land till the ninth hour, till 3 o'clock. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is to say, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" In that moment, the darkness became face to face with the light of the world. And for 3 hours, there seemed to be a struggle. And the sun refused to shine. That great light that God had put in the sky back in Genesis chapter 1 when he made day and night. In this moment, at high noon, there was a showdown on Calvary's hill. And the light of the world stood in the very presence of all the evil of your sin and my sin, of every sin of every man and every woman, every boy and every girl. And the darkness fell on the earth. So much so that one guard at the foot of the tomb said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Then our mind goes to that first Easter Sunday, at the beginning of the day when the sun came up. Because on that first Easter day, when the sun came up, the sun came up. Did you hear me? When the sun came up, the Son of God conquered darkness, conquered evil, conquered the problems that you and I face every day. And the light of the world shone brightly. And tells us in our text that we prefer, you and I, we prefer darkness. We prefer the darkness because our deeds, he says, they're ungodly. And I want to just get real for a few moments today. I want to talk about the darkness that's around us. The darkness that is challenging us on every level. One that comes to my mind as I began speaking of darkness is the darkness of addiction. It's everywhere. I can count on more than one hand in this church some of our young people that have dealt with addiction. A mother of a child who was struggling with addiction gave me this point. It gives us perspective if drugs could talk. For some, if alcohol could talk. For some, if pornography could talk. For addiction. But this one speaks mostly of drugs. Hear it. I destroy homes, tear families apart, take your children, and that's just the start. I'm more costly than diamonds, more costly than gold. The sorrow I bring is a sight to behold. And if you need me, remember, I'm easily found. I live all around you, in schools and in town. I live with the rich, and I live with the poor. I live down the street and maybe next door. My power is awesome. Try me, you'll see. But if you do, you may never break free. Just try me once and I might let you go. But try me twice and I'll own your soul. When I possess you, you'll steal and you'll lie. You'll do what you have to do just to get high. The crimes you'll commit for my narcotic charms will be worth the pleasure you feel in your arms. You'll lie to your mother. You'll steal from your dad. When you see their tears, you should feel sad. But you'll forget your morals and how you were raised. I'll be your conscience. I'll teach you my ways. I'll take kids from their parents and parents from kids. I'll turn people from God and separate from friends. I'll take everything from you, your looks and your pride. I'll be with you always, right by your side. You'll give up everything, your family, your home, your friends, your money. Then you'll be alone. I'll take and I'll take till you've nothing more to give. When I'm finished with you, you'll be lucky to live. If you try me, be warned, this is no game. If given the chance, I'll drive you insane. I'll ravish your body. I'll control your mind. I'll own you completely. Your soul will be mine. The nightmares I'll give you while lying in bed, the voices you'll hear from inside your head, the sweats, the shakes, the visions you'll see, I want you to know these are all gifts from me. But then it's too late. And you'll know in your heart that you are mine and we shall not part. You'll regret that you tried me. They always do. But you came to me, not I to you. You knew this would happen. Many times you were told, but you challenged my power. You chose to be bold. You could have said no and just walked away. If you could live that day over, now what would you say? I'll be your master. You'll be my slave. I'll even go with you when you go to your grave. Now that you've met me, what will you do? Will you try me or not? It's all up to you. I can bring you more misery than words can tell. Come take my hand. Let me lead you to hell. Signed by drugs. Darkness. There's a darkness in our soul. and a hunger to fill it. And we believe the lie, knowing it's a lie, that drugs might do what we can't do alone. That's just one darkness. The darkness of prejudice and hatred. It seems to me in a time when we should be moving forward in relationships that we're moving the wrong way. Jesus taught us to love our neighbor and to do good to those that mistreat us. In Matthew chapter 5, he says, love your enemies that you might be the sons of the Father. Hatred. Tomorrow's Martin Luther King Jr. Day. One powerful quote by Dr. King says, darkness does not drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Today, are you in the darkness of hatred? Are you in the darkness of prejudices that will rob you of your Christian walk? One of the struggles of the church is to make sure we're being salt and light to all our community. We cannot have a prejudice or a hateful heart. Lust. I began to write down just what happens when lust happens. Abortion. Sexually transmitted diseases. Adultery. Broken homes. Pornography. Human trafficking. Depression. Jealous rage that leads to murder. The darkness of lust can destroy a heart, can destroy a family, can destroy a life. The darkness of anger and unforgiveness. Someone has said that unforgiveness is like you drinking the poison and hoping it kills the person you refuse to forgive. Pretty good analogy. It's a pretty good image of what it really is all about, isn't it? I heard someone else say that if we have that spirit of unforgiveness, and I remember reading this in a time in my life when I was struggling very hard with unforgiveness in my own life and in my own understanding. And that person said, if you decide to keep a person in the prison of unforgiveness, and you're both in prison. You have to stand at the door to make sure you never let that person out. The darkness of anger. The darkness of unforgiveness. The darkness of greed. It is greed that drives so many wrong things in this world that we're never satisfied. The darkness of war. Certainly between nations, we know that darkness. If you are here and you are a serviceman or servicewoman, you may have experienced that firsthand. But I've also seen war in families. I've seen wars between husbands and wives that lead to brokenness. I've seen wars between grown children and their parents. I've seen war between brothers and sisters. And it's a darkness, brothers and sisters. It's a darkness. And it robs us of all that God would have us to be. And then for just a moment, I've got to speak of church darkness. We can't ignore our world. The church should be taking the lead in combating the evils of this world. We can't just sit quietly by and try to ignore what's going on. We must take a stand as God's people. I don't know what's going on in all of our thought and thinking, but I want to tell you that the hope for this world is Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that again. The hope for this world is Jesus Christ. Amen. The hope for this world is Jesus Christ. And who's going to share Jesus Christ with a broken world, with a world that seems to be headed in the wrong direction? Every time we read the paper, we see another tragedy, whether internationally or whether locally. We see what sin can do. We see what we find ourselves living in when we turn ourselves over to our own desires. And it is an evil world. And we understand that the church is the hope. Not because there is hope within us. If you came today just to hear me, bless your heart. But if you came today to hear the Lord and hear what God would say to you, then you'll leave this place a brighter light. There'll be less darkness in your world. There'll be more light because you've heard from God. What the world needs is Jesus Christ and the church. We've got to make sure we're sharing that love. I hope you're praying even now for Sled Day. Pray for Sled Day. But not only pray for Sled Day that nobody will get hurt, do that. Please do that. But pray that as people will come from our community to slide down a slope, that we'll share the love of Jesus Christ. And let's be bold, you and I. We who are Flat Springers, let's be bold. Let's go out. Let's talk to them. Let's find out who they are. Let's find out where they are with God. Let's share His love. We can't be ignoring each other. We should hold each other accountable. But we're so afraid we might offend, or we feel like, oh, we can't do that. When the church loses its accountability, it loses its ability to be the people of God. It's hard to hold each other accountable. I don't want you to hold me accountable. Do you want to hold me accountable? You want me to hold you accountable? Would you like for me to start asking you to stand up right now and let me share with you what I think you need to do differently? No, we don't want that. That'd be silly anyway. But would you hear if I came to you as a brother and sister quietly and said, brother, I love you. I see this need in your life. How can I pray for you? How can I come alongside you? How can I help you? I don't want to just ignore you. Too often times we might talk about somebody's problem with somebody else, not them. We need to be talking with them, don't we? We need to be penetrating that darkness of not holding each other accountable and holding each other accountable. And then I'm almost done ignoring ourselves, the darkness that that brings. This is a personal question each of us must ask. How much darkness of the world have we allowed to overshadow our life? Because if it overshadows our life, it overshadows our family. If it overshadows our family, it overshadows our legacy and our future. Oh, if you're here today and say, I know we ought to share our faith, but I don't feel adequate. Can I ask us a question? What are we doing to become more adequate? If we said last year, I can't share my faith because I don't know what to say. What have we done between then and now to get ourselves where we say, now I can. Now I can. Now I can. You know what, if we're really being honest, like that teacher asking for folks to raise their hands, if we've done the homework, some of us might say, I haven't done a cotton picking thing. I haven't picked up one book to learn about how to be a witness. I haven't studied one Bible. I hadn't called the pastor one time and said, I've got a brother or sister. Can you help me? You see, we just ignore ourselves, don't we? We just ignore our own spiritual condition. And we stay where we were. Maybe right now, if I were to ask us, how much have you grown spiritually from this time last year when 2017 began? And if we were really honest with that hand-raising moment, we might just want to scratch our head. Maybe I'll make a note in next year, 2019, I'll ask this question again. We as a church family, what will we do? The darkness is all around us. It's not only those evil things that I mentioned, prejudices, hatred, lust, anger, unforgiveness, greed, and war, but it's also neglecting the more important things of the law, the more important things of being a believer, of loving the Lord with all our heart, mind, and soul, of raising our family up to be godly families, of teaching them the main thing is their walk with God. I conclude with this, the light will prevail. There's coming a day when the darkness will be totally defeated. It's found in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. John has this revelation. This is what he says. And the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And its lamp is the Lamb. By its light, will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and the gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. The light of the world is Jesus. And one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord and live in his life. Today, could we pray for darkness? The darkness of addiction, the darkness of prejudice, the darkness of hatred, the darkness of lust, the darkness of anger and unforgiveness, the darkness of greed, the darkness of war. But could we also pray for the darkness of ignoring our walk, of ignoring our priorities, of ignoring what God would have us to do? I can't help but think, as those parents stood here with those precious children, we stood at this altar and we said, we'll do our best. Many of you stood with your children and you said, you'll do your best. Sometimes darkness creeps in and we don't do our best, doesn't it? I don't know what the Holy Spirit might be saying in this moment, but I believe God's Spirit is in this place. In him was life. And that life is the light of men. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. For one day, God's glory will be the light and the lamp will be the Lamb. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, would you speak to our hearts today for what we need to hear from you as you have spoken to us. And sometimes we just hear it with our ears, but somehow Satan knows if he can just stop the journey from our head to our heart, he can keep us right where we are. And Lord, today, would you give us a desire to go deeper with you, to walk more closely with you, to love you more dearly, to know you more powerfully than ever before. And we stood with these families as they stood with their children. Would you help us be that church that stands in the gap of a world full of darkness, that we might let our light shine? If there's someone here today who needs to come out of darkness and into your perfect light, then would you allow your Holy Spirit to quicken their spirit right now? And may they make that decision for you. If there's a believer here, Lord, who knows there's darkness in our life that is interfering with our walk with you, then, Lord, would you let us come out of that darkness and into your light? You know the need of every heart. You know the decisions that each of us should make. May we do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 576. This morning, if God is laying on you your heart, you need to make some decision for him. Oh, I beg you, would you do so as we stand together?
Thank you. was good to be in the Lord's house this day. Continue to pray for those families that have made the faith statement to stand here in this place and make a decision to raise their family up in a way that would be pleasing unto our Lord. And thank each of you for your presence here, for our guests. We hope that you'll come back and be with us again. I hope we will remember Jamie. I believe Jamie is out of the hospital right now, but still having great difficulties. And because of her liver issues, they can't deal with her gallbladder issues. And so she's in a great deal of discomfort. Please keep her lifted up in your prayers. And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace and in His power and in His abiding presence, that we might be His people of light in the midst of His people in darkness. Would you pray? God, You have heard our confessions to You. Those areas of our life where we have spoken of the darkness and invited Your light. Would You now illuminate us that when we leave this place, we might indeed do as You taught us to do. That we might let our light so shine that others might see what we do and how we live, and who we are, and how we love You, and that they would glorify You, O God. In Jesus' name, amen.